Good morning, church.
Morning.
This morning's opening hymn, as we sang, "Tell Me the Old, Old Story." I like the verses 1 and 2, which says, "Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply as a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the story softly with earnest tones and grave. Remember, I'm the sinner whom Jesus came to save. Tell me the story always, if you would really be, in any time of trouble, a comforter to me." That old story which brings comfort and hope, which transforms us and binds us and brings us together, is that story of Jesus Christ. Throughout my life, I grew up in the faith, and it provided a lot of time for me, you can say, to mess up, to figure things out about God, to understand who he is. And one of the things that, regardless of how you were brought up, one thing I've always lacked was focus or concentration. When my parents would go to the parents-teacher conference at school, the same thing every year, the teacher would say, "Your son is a good student, this and this and that, but he lacks focus. If he only stays focused, he would be a much better student," so on and so forth. And that always stayed in my mind for many years. And one thing that I was always taught was, no matter what, go to God. And so I asked the Lord, "Lord, if I lack this concentration, this focus," and in reality, every single Sabbath, one of the prayers I always ask is, "Help me stay focused throughout the whole service." God has helped me throughout the years, and he gives me little things that I can do to help me to stay focused when I'm talking to someone. Even when I'm speaking, sometimes my mind wanders, and then I go back and, "What was I speaking about?" and help me to continue. My sister knows me very well, and growing up, when we would have conversations, she'll know immediately when I lose focus. And she'll tap me on my shoulder, or she'll say, "Hey, focus." She'll have little things to draw me back the attention. But she's also seen the growth in me and the things that I try to do to stay focused. And has become a blessing in my life. But I still lack it. And as my wife, there's still times I still wander a little bit off. And I'm hoping that even with this message, I stay focused on the topic at hand. The title of this message is "The Focus of Revelation." You know, a lot of times we may ponder upon the book or hear people talk about it, and it seems a bit scary, seems very difficult and complex to understand, especially if you have never really studied Revelation, open it for the first time. It seems a bit overwhelming to do so, but God warns us in the beginning, the focus that we are to have no matter what we're talking about or where we are in the book of Revelation. And I pray that this message inspires you to be able to not only to study and to look at the last book of the Bible, but also the whole Bible itself in a brighter light than what you've had in the past. The word Revelation, which it's a translation which comes from the word apocalypse. Other translations use the word apocalypse. In Spanish, we use the word apocalipsis. The Catholic Bible, it doesn't use the word revelation, but apocalypse. But what does it mean? You have all these different ideas people talking about in modern day. We can go to a modern day definition, but it's the modern day definition. We must go back to how it was used in the olden days when the translation of the Bible was first put together. It comes from the word apocalypsis, I don't know if I'm saying that correct, which means uncovering, disclosure, revelation. It comes from a stem word of apocalypstein, which means to uncover, disclose, to reveal. That's all it means. It's not something scary. It doesn't mean end time. It doesn't mean the end of the world. It just means to reveal. But what or who does it reveal? Let's begin in Revelation chapter 1, and beginning in verse 1. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. says the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can't be any simpler than this. The book of Revelation is to reveal us who? Jesus Christ. Which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So here we're letting know this sort of a change of command, so to speak, where God the Father, that is from whom this message is coming from, this revelation is coming from, and he gives it to who? Who does he pass it on to? God the Father passes it on to who? In the second line after the revelation of Jesus Christ says, which God gave unto him, who is him? Jesus Christ, his son, to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass. So who are these servants? In the Bible, there is at least 21 verses that talk about servants. But we're just going to talk about three in particular. One is found in 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 10. To understand who are these servants that is referring to here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. In 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 10, it says, and the Lord spake by his servants, the prophets, saying, seems pretty short, and then in Daniel chapter 9, verse 10, here Daniel is praying to God on behalf of God's people. He is praying, repenting of their sins, and he comes to this verse in Daniel chapter 9, verse 10, which reads, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. So, again, the servants are the prophets. They didn't obey God's voice, and yet they were hearing God's voice through his servants, the prophets. And the last one, in Amos chapter 3, verse 7. In Amos chapter 3, in verse 7. We read, it says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So here the servants of that God will pass this valuable information about the revelation of Jesus Christ, he passes on to his prophets. So it is through his prophets that God will speak upon to his people. Not the only way, but it's surely one of the main ways in which God communicates to us. The angel in which the message is also passed on to, a lot of times we might think, okay, we see God the Father here, we see Jesus Christ, but what about the Holy Spirit? Doesn't the Holy Spirit also is involved in salvation? Isn't he involved as well in our lives? And yes, he is, because who is in filling the angel, who is filled, who is John filled up with, and that is the Holy Spirit. We can find that in 2 Peter, for instance, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. And it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. So it wasn't our own ideas or creativeness. It wasn't that we came together and said, I wonder what God's will is. What do you think? It wasn't anything from ourselves. It says that, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. For John to be able to receive this important message that God the Father is passing on to his son, sent it through his angel to John the Beloved. John the Revelator, he needed to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And it mentions in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, that it was signified. Signified means a concept or a meaning as distinguished from the sign in which it is communicated. The thing or concept denoted by a sign. In other words, it is it's filled with symbolism. But as we can study the book of Revelation, and as I gave a short explanation in verse 1, we can break down even by words the verses and understand what does it mean, search throughout the scripture to understand what is that God wants to tell us. We can understand it through its context of the verse or the chapter, but we can easily lose focus. And what is that focus? It told to us in the beginning, the focus is Jesus Christ. God does things in order. As 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. An amazing verse there that you can apply as well within our lives. When God created the heavens and the earth, he didn't just out of the blue, let's say, oh, let's just create the trees and then we'll create the sun and then we'll do something else. He did things in a proper order that each one that came after was blessed from what was there beforehand. The sun was created, then he created the vegetation that we were blessed by the sun shining upon it. The animals came after the vegetation that we were to eat the food that was already there, that was being blessed by the sun that was created beforehand, and so on and so forth. As well as he does when it comes to salvation, as well as he does in our lives, to teach us about his will and his character, to guide us and transform us. He doesn't just out of the blue say, here what I expect from you in this high standard, but he guides us to reach to that step by step where we are. He meets us and guides us to where he wants us to be. From Bible Commentary, Volume 7, in 953.8, it says, the whole Bible is a revelation, for all revelation to men comes through Jesus Christ and all centers in him. God has spoken unto us by his Son, whose we are by creation and by redemption. Right? Last Sabbath was Passover. It should have been definitely a reminder of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Christ came to John, exiled in the island Patmos, to give him the truth for these last days, to show him that which must surely come to pass. Jesus Christ is the great trustee of divine revelation. It is through him that we have a knowledge of what we are to look for in the closing scenes of this earth's history. God gave this revelation to Christ, and Christ communicated the same to John. God provides us a message, and sure, he gives it through Jesus Christ, who passes on to his prophets, passes on to the churches. The churches will then pass it on to the rest of the world. But God is a God of relationship, and it's not just one-way street. It's a two-way. So how do we return or communicate back to him? And that is through prayer. Jesus gave us a beautiful example of prayer, right? The disciple asked Jesus to teach him how to pray. And how does he start his prayer? Our Father that are in heaven, right? Not the one in Vatican, not the one in the cathedral, not the one anywhere, but the one where? In heaven. And so Jesus, throughout his ministry, he always was praying to his Father in heaven, and he was giving that as an example for us as well. So when we pray, who are we praying to? The Father. Not to Jesus, not to Holy Spirit. And the reason I kind of mention is it's starting to grow even within our denomination, this idea of praying to the Holy Spirit. It is not an example in Scripture, nor is there a command from us to pray to anyone but to God the Father. But we do it through who? Through Jesus Christ. Amen. So, just starting to start this idea that there's supposed to be a relationship, not just God giving us this information. He's not a dictator. Here's the information, do as I say. But he wants to have a relationship with us where we can also communicate back to him and ask questions and ponder upon things. In verse 2 of Revelation chapter 1, we continue reading. It says, who bear record, speaking of John, of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So John recorded or kept a record to have this, preserving this evidence to be passed on to others. And he bore record of three things. One, the word of God, which contains the gospel and the Ten Commandments. Two, the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is the spirit of prophecy as told in Revelation 19, verse 10. And three, all things he saw, which is what he witnessed. These are the three things that are the description for the remnant of God's people in end of times. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, it tells us who are these remnant of God, who will be living right before Jesus returns. It says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. But you might be thinking, there's just two of three, right? They have the testimony and they, and they keep the commandment of God. In other words, they have the word of God. Where's the witness? Well, how do you know? How can human beings know? How can the devil know that you truly are a follower of God? Because you memorize the word of God in your heart? No, it is because our witness, what we do, reflects what's in our heart. So if I love God and I have studied his word and I understand who he is and I believe who he is, what I do to others, whether it be in church, at work, at home, my enemies, my friends, should reflect that love of God in my heart. So they should determine and know immediately, you must be a Christian. You must be a follower of God, because the way you speak, the way you dress, the way you act, what you listen to is different than everyone else that I see around here. Amen. There must be something different about you, and that should be Jesus Christ. Amen. So all these three things are confined within God's remnant people. In manuscript 129 from 1905, Ellen White writes, the instructions to be communicated to John was so important that Christ came from heaven to give it to his servant, telling him to send it to the churches. This instruction is the object of our careful and prayerful study, for we are living in a time when men are not under the teaching of the Holy Spirit will bring in false theories. These men have been standing in high places and they have ambitious projects to carry out. They seek to exalt themselves and to revolutionize the whole showing of things. God has given us special instruction to guard us against such ones. He bade John write in a book that which should take place in the closing scenes of this earth's history. If we are to continue to study the book of Revelation, especially beginning in chapter 1, we see Jesus being presented there to John, that he's able to communicate directly to John and explain to him the things that are surely to be taking place. We see that there's a relationship. God wants to reveal these things for us, but for what reason and for what purpose? Let's continue on until verse 3. In Revelation chapter 1, it says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Blessed, which can mean fortunate or well off or happy. Right, Revelation 22:7, it says, behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he, or happy is he, who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. So who are to be blessed? It gives us three characteristics. Those who readeth is to know these things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13, for we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and understand, and I hope you will fully understand. The second one, hears the words, is to understand the words. John 14:24, whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Jesus, time and time again, he kept saying, he's not doing his own will, but the will of his Father. What he said is not his own, but of his Father. Constantly kept telling and reminding us of why he was here and who was the one that sent him. And number three, keep the things, which is to do them. John 16:1, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away, to departing from the faith, from committing apostasy, but to stay with the Lord. So those who are blessed are those who read it, in other words, who know the words, who understand the words, and those who do the words. We're not just to be hearers of the words, but also, what? Doers of the word. Why? What's the reason? And God tells us, Jesus himself tells us, for the time is at hand. Matthew 4:17, Jesus says, it says in scripture, this is after Jesus had been baptized and spent the 40 days in the wilderness, being tempted by Satan. Soon after, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 26, 18. And he said, go into the city to such a man, speaking to his disciples right before Passover, right before he was going to be betrayed, and say to such a man, the master says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. This idea, the time is at hand, meaning the moment is happening now. Revelation 22, 10. He said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecies of this book, for the time is at hand. Back in Daniel, in chapter 12, God tells Daniel to seal up the book until the time of the end. Why? Because during his time, it wasn't for them. For them, it was a different message, a different calling that they had to, a different type of preparation that they had to do, different than what will be for those in the end time. But during about almost 2,300 years later, around the 1800s, the book were open. And then it became the time at hand for us to understand and comprehend the message that God has for us in the end time. The book of Revelation was not to be sealed, because since the time of John until our time, the time is at hand for us to understand the message that God has for us, to prepare for what is to come. And that is what? What is the most amazing event that the world is waiting for, whether they like it or not? The second coming. Amen. The time has come to reveal to God's people Jesus' soon return. Jesus Christ is the focus, not only for the book of Revelation, but for the whole Bible. Jesus is the one who can save us. Jesus is the one who can restore us. Jesus is the one who can redeem us. Jesus is the one who can comfort us. Jesus is the one who can transform us. Jesus is the one who connects us to our Heavenly Father. Revelation can seem like a scary book. It talks about beasts and dragons, seven last plagues, but we must remember that it is to reveal Jesus Christ. God's goal is to get rid of sin, first in our hearts and in our minds, then from the rest of the world. Because God is merciful and gracious and love, He cannot force us. The good news is that He is patient with us and is able to help us get victory over sin today. The world understands that, yes, we talk about Jesus, God being love, but they always ask the question, if God is love, why is there so much evil in this world? The short answer, because of love, right? But there's so much to be unpacked from that, right? Because of love, God is allowing us to make the decisions that we want and to face the consequences of the decisions, whether good or bad. And unfortunately, there's a lot of evil around in this world. But we must stay focused upon who? Jesus Christ. When reading any part of the scripture, remember to ask, what is it teaching me about Jesus? From Genesis to Revelation, it is to reveal Jesus Christ, to understand God's character, and God wants us to understand it through Jesus Christ. For instance, in Revelation chapter 13, it speaks about the Antichrist and the false prophet, right? The papacy and apostate Protestantism, the union of church and state. It says the soon coming of the mark of the beast and the enforcement, which is the enforcement of the Sunday law. Revelation 13 speaks about that. Brings us to what we'll soon be facing. It can seem scary. It can seem at times overwhelming. But what is the focus that we are to have? Jesus Christ. Revelation speaks about the world, what the world will be facing because they have rejected Jesus Christ. God is allowing them to make the decision, and He's going to allow them to face their consequences. So even though it might be scary, even though as we stay faithful to Christ, there'll come a time where we will not be able to buy or sell, where we'll not be able to easily come together and worship and open our Bibles and have open Bible studies. The time will come when that will happen. We are not to lose faith. We are not to lose focus. We are to be like the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, which they have God's character in their hearts and follow Jesus wherever He goes. When we're faced with difficulties in life, remember to keep our focus on Jesus, and God will guide us through them. When we're facing difficulties at work, when we're facing difficulties here in church, our focus must always be on God, and God will guide us through them. Just as Noah struggled with the idea that the world was going to be destroyed with a flood, which had never rained before. Huge criticism from the whole world saying, "You're a fool. The world has never rained. Why would it rain and flood the whole world?" But he stayed his focus upon God, and God guided him through the flood, not away from it. God guided Israel through the desert, not away from it. They had to experience what they needed to in the desert so that they can receive that promised land. And God will guide us through our problems and make it, and guide us through it so we can make it through the other side. As we trust in God now for everything, keeping focus on Jesus Christ, God will prepare us to face not only tomorrow's issues and problems that we may face at home, at work, at church, wherever we are, but what the world is soon to face. The calamities that the world will be facing, like the seven last plagues, the mark of the beast, the destruction of spiritual Babylon, they seem scary, but God promised he will protect us and guide us through them. God tells us that the water in our food is sure. Thousands shall fall on our side, 10,000 shall fall, and no harm shall come upon us. God wants us to know what will happen so we understand better why he wants us to be prepared and how. Prepare by surrendering our hearts to him, repenting of our sins and turning away where we ask the Lord not only for forgiveness, but to give us strength and ability, wisdom to turn away so we don't keep falling back into that, and allowing him to transform us through prayer and his word. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it tells us, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." This is a message for every single one of us. We don't have to be theologians, pastors, elders for us to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. It is all our responsibility. And so when someone is preaching something that shouldn't be preached based on the scripture, it is not for you to wait until someone else speaks up, for another Elijah, when God is asking you to step up and speak. Preparing the way for Jesus Christ, it is a responsibility that God is asking all his people, young and old, new to the faith or veteran in the faith, he is asking all of us. But primarily he's looking for is that humble heart and that willingness to want for God to be, for God to use them in preparing the way for Jesus' return. The book of Revelations begins with Jesus. We are able to see how Jesus is being expressed and revealed through us, Revelation, but it also ends with Jesus Christ. And it's an example for us to live like that in our lives, that when we start our day, we start with Jesus Christ, that we go through our day, we involve God within our lives. And when we finish that day, regardless of the difficulty, the stress, the hard work, how tired we may be, we must end also with Jesus Christ. In Revelation 22, verse 20 to 21, it ends by saying, "He which testified these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with you all. Amen." As God began in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1, creating the heavens and the earth, God will end in the book of Revelation, recreating heaven and the earth new, this time with the guarantee that there will never be sin in this world. But the question remains still, who are you going to be choosing today? And what we decide should be reflected throughout our day in the decisions that we make, even our interaction with others, on who we are choosing, either the idols of the world or God. May God bless you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the blessing that you provided for us this week, that we can come here in fellowship and praise and worship you, Lord. Be with our brothers and sisters who were not able to attend this morning here in Aiken, but be with them and guide them and lead us, O Lord, that we may be submitting our lives to you daily, that you may continue to transform us so that we may bear your character, bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit, so that the world may truly know who you are in our lives. Thank you for the message and hope that you've given us throughout our lives about Jesus Christ and about you, Lord, and guide us that any issues or problems that may come in our way, that we keep our focus, keeping our eyes fixed upon you, and that you will lead us and direct us and never forsake us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.